Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Detroit. What up, though? Lions, level, Lambeau. Are they ready to crash the NFC Championship party? And meanwhile, where does that leave Green Bay? If all they need is love, where, oh, where do they go from here? So that was last night. Then we look ahead. Sunday night, Tay-Tay in the house, the world watching. Can Zach shake it off? Or would that be only in our wildest dreams? All that and a whole lot more. Let's do it. Let's get up on a football Friday.
What up, though?
What up, though?
We up, baby. Detroit, we up.
Detroit is excited. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. It's Graziano Bartholomew's fired up. Mike T is here. Chris Canty, RC, will also join us. The week opened with a bang last night. Game of the night, Lambeau Field. You want to get hype? Who do you want bringing you out of the tunnel to start the game?
Wheezy F, baby. He's so little.
He's so little. But Amon-Ra St. Brown plays big, and he gets the Lions on the board.
Oh, this might be the move of the century. Talk about the stanky leg. This double move was amazing for seven. Reservation for one.
Goff, 19 of 28, 210 yards. Then critical play, and we'll get more deeply into this. Jordan Love, the mistake he makes there. The tip turns into a pick by Jerry Jacobs. He takes it back to the seven. Lions in business. Again, we'll have another closer look at that and what Jordan Love did wrong on that play in a moment. But it cashes in with David Montgomery.
Oh, he had a night. I tell you what, picking up just where he left off last week. Three touchdowns, Greeny. He had a hell of a day.
24-3 Lions at Lambeau. All right, so are we done here? No, we're not. Watch the take. Packers within 27-11. Clock strikes zero. And then some. They don't blow it dead. Jayden Reed is behind the defense. A 44-yard gain.
How is this not reviewable?
One can wonder. Still same drive, second and goal. Jordan Love takes it himself. There's nothing he can do that can't be done. It's a 10-point game after the missed conversion. Now, fourth quarter, same score. Lions kicking a field goal. Why would we show you this? Well, because there's a flag on the play. It's Quay Walker. What's he do wrong?
You can't land. You can jump, but you can't land or make contact with the opposing offense. Oh, this is the tush kick.
It's Quay Walker, and it's Dan Campbell choosing to take the points off the board. Proves to be the backbreaker for Green Bay, because on fourth down, Montgomery takes it in for his third touchdown of the night. Lions up 34-17. Desperation time now. Packers in the red zone. One last try, but it's Jordan Love intercepted by Jacobs again. Love 23 of 46, 246, two picks. Lions, a statement win, 34-20, the final. Afterwards, Matt LaFleur, cranky.
Nothing happens when you have to cause a first half like that, where you couldn't get
nothing. I mean, you saw it, Pete. I mean, we got our ass kicked. If I knew, it wouldn't have happened.
Matt, they didn't blitz until...
That's a BS question, man.
Ooh, methinks he doth protest too much. Graziano, why is he so mad?
Well, because they got their ass kicked.
I guess
that's what he said. Look, I mean, he's got a very young team, a very young quarterback and a very young team. I actually talked to Matt LaFleur last week. I had their game against the Saints. And I asked him, like, what's it been like for you to coach this, this very young team? And he had a lot to say, and it was centered around the idea of, you know, you have to be on top of absolutely everything. There's so much teaching that goes on. There's so much that they don't know yet that they have to learn. So there are plays, there are situations where the coaching staff is sitting there going, we really have to go over this? And the answer is yes, because you have every single receiver, right? Every single wide receiver they have is either first or second year guy. Mm-hmm. Tight ends are rookies. I think they have three rookie tight ends, and obviously the quarterback starting for the first time. He's the veteran. He's a fourth-year guy, yeah. But he's still new at this. So I think the Packers are going to have nights like this, and I think it's going to be understandably frustrating.
You agree. There's something very fundamental going on here. Jordan Love is last in the NFL in completion percentage, and it's tied to the pass rush. We have a graphic here. Shocking that we would have a graphic.
Mike T loves a graphic.
But when he's pressured, his completion percentage drops considerably. And when you're missing Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari Greeny, this is what happens. And this is the inexperience of not only Jordan Love, but those other young receivers. And that's a massive problem.
That's a factor. And if there's another thing that young players sometimes don't do, perhaps, it is focus on the little things. And a great catch by our producer, Brian Bork, that we're going to show you here. Brian, let's go through this play. The early interception that Love throws. I want you to watch how somewhat carelessly he does the fake handoff here. So it's play action and what that leads to.
Well, it's lackadaisical. You know, you want to try and draw the eyes of the linebackers. As a former linebacker, I understand that. But they haven't even established the run. You got all the run play action. The linebackers are out of their break getting depth. When they see the play action, they climb for depth and tip balls, change games. The inches we need is all around us, and it makes the difference between winning and living, losing and dying.
And I said it all wrong. Right there. But that's really not selling the fake. And if there's one thing that I noticed during the Hard Knocks was Aaron Rodgers going over and over again how much they sold the fake. Remember that episode of Hard Knocks, if you watched it. Who is it, a run play or a passing play? You sell that fake. That's the kind of thing a young quarterback will realize is critical. Seems like a small thing until the linebacker breaks back half a second earlier and it's a tip and it's an interception.
That's what it is being able to throw in windows. And every play is designed to try and establish and move and dictate the eyes of the defense, and you have to do a better job selling. You have to be all in. I remember Peyton Manning, how hard he got out there when he faked the edge of the James and put that ball out there and pull it out of their belly. This is a lost art, and it's attention to details where these young players really don't understand the nuance of playing the game of football.
Green, to your point, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, it's a game of inches, and as Anzalone is a half a yard closer to honor the run, that could be a big play in the game, and that's the difference right now between an experienced quarterback and a young one.
That's right, and that's what Jordan Love is. Let the record show, I am in no way off the Jordan Love bandwagon. It's going to take a little time. He's going to be a really good player. Give him a season. Next year, Jordan Love is going to be a tremendous quarterback. He's going to have huge days this year, and next year he's going to be a great player.
Fourth quarter comeback win against the Saints on Sunday, just 4 days earlier. It's the highs and the lows of a young player.
Having said all of that,
yes.
What up, dough? Let's give the Love.
Is that Honolulu blue?
He's got it ready to go. Listen, the Lions have played two statement games this season. They open on a Thursday night. You pointed it out to me at Arrowhead, and last night on a Thursday night at Lambeau. Road game, short week. That's supposed to be a tough spot. They are flexing their muscle. Let's give love to these Lions.
Yeah, they are who we thought they were, right? And you know, it's hard to live up to expectations sometimes. But now you talk about this team is built with the physicality. It reflects its city. It reflects its head coach. They win at the point of attack, and they just bludgeon you. You watch these linemen. You talk about Jordan Montgomery rushing for 141 yards. You talk about the decisions that were made. You talk about great draft picks. Everybody laughed when they brought in, you know, Jack Campbell, I believe, and they went out and they, you know, DeAndre Swift is playing well with Philadelphia. But they got the type of players that they want to have the type of style they want. They bludgeon you to death. And when you get into the fourth quarter and that offensive line starts leaning on you, it's going to help them win a lot of games, especially when the weather gets inclement.
They have an elite offensive line. They have an elite defensive line. That is the recipe to winning in football, whether you're playing in 2023 or 1923. And that coach, I love him. I've been saying it since last year. That guy can coach my team anytime. And he actually did coach your team.
Yeah, unusually, he was our head coach for 12 games in 2015, Green. When we made a change at the head coach, we hired Dan. And Dan Campbell is a disciple of Bill Parcells and Sean Payton, but he's much more relatable, and the players like him, but they trust him and they respect him. And, man, can he be intimidating. I remember walking down the hallway thinking, like, hey, we got to get Jay Ajayi on the field, and I'm all excited and fired up. I walk in, he stands up, I'm like, hey, coach, we're good. Hope you're having a good day. That's Dan. You know, he's a big man.
He's a big man. He is legitimately a huge man. And so I wonder, last night, maybe they served notice not just that the NFC North is their division. But should the 49ers be paying attention? Should the Eagles be paying attention? Should the Cowboys be paying attention?
I think so, because while they may not have, like, the firepower on offense as some of those teams have, they're not scared of anybody, right? The two wins on the road are at Arrowhead Stadium and Lambeau Field. That is no joke, right? So they know exactly who they want to be. You watch them push people around with that offensive line. They're running the ball when everyone in the world knows they want to run it, and these teams can't stop it. I go back to my baseball days, right? They used to say, like, the best base stealer was the guy that could steal the base when everybody in the ballpark knew he was going to run.
Yeah.
The Lions are like that with their offense. They're like, the game started lousy. They throw an interception, it gets returned back into their territory, give up points right away. No problem. We're going to stick to our plan.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Jared Goff has been a godsend for Detroit, and we thought he was a throwaway and they were going to get a first-round draft pick. But also remember, their firepower is coming. Jameson Williams is suspended for 6 games. They're going to get a guy that can take the top off of the defense.
In the meantime, I just need to get a quick read from you and anyone who wants to on this. This is Benito Jones arriving at Lambeau last night. And, well, you describe to me what it is that we see here. What do we think of the
– oh, good.
What do we think?
This is Harner's in his inner Vince Wilfork, right? We've seen that. I mean, this is only an outfit a mother can love.
I mean, Mike T?
Yeah, I was going to go with that or this today.
Did he borrow that from you? I was going to say the boots.
I appreciate the choice you made.
Surprisingly skinny legs.
I tell you, this is the one time a year you could show up the Lambo dressed like this.
got the Apollo Creed taco meat. I can respect that, though, too. No manscaping.
We got that. So the first game of week 4 is behind us. The rest of it is ahead of us. We need to make bold predictions. Graziano, give me something bold as we look ahead to Sunday's action.
Joe Burrow will lead the Bengals to a win by throwing 4 touchdown passes against Tennessee. Tennessee's a get-right offense for your passing game. We saw it with Deshaun Watson last week. He had his best game of the year. And I think a banged-up Joe Burrow has his best game of the young season so far.
Coming off of what was a huge win the other night. Bart, give me a bold prediction.
I got bold for you. The Miami Dolphins rush for 200 yards rushing. You talk about going against the Buffalo Bills. They spend most of their time in nickel. Light box, you bet not do that. This is a physical team, physical outfit. 200, Greeny. 200. I said it. Write it down.
Mostert and Achane. Mike T, give me a bold prediction for week 4.
Zach Wilson's going to get benched. And Greeny, here's why. Kansas City's coming into town, so that's Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Patrick Mahomes. They're going to score points.
In that order,
exactly. They're going to score points. Zach Wilson is going to have to try to get the ball down the field. Steve Spagnuolo is going to send pressure, and that's a bad combination for Zach Wilson.
Listen, I love you. You know that. I don't consider that bold. under any other circumstances.
What's the bets on it?
It would have been benched a long time ago. The fact that he's still on the field is astonishing to me. And we'll talk more about them a little bit later here. But, Bart, I mean, I'm at my wit's end. I don't even know what to say. I turn to you for help. Where have you gone, Bartholomew Scott? What can we do here?
I mean, run the ball. Try and shorten the game. I mean, all the cliche things you can talk about. Try and turn Patrick Mahomes over. This defense is going to have a Herculean type of effort to be able to just even be in the game. And they can't get the doors blown off early because they can't, you know, lose the crowd early. The Swifties will be in the building too, so.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so that's where we are. We will talk about this, and you will hear from Zach Wilson. He responded directly to Joe Namath's blistering criticism of him. The question is it really all his fault, or are the Jets coaches failing him along the way? There's so much to be said, and unfortunately, we will say it. Plus, it's the biggest game of the year so far. Josh Allen and the Bills, Tua, Tyreek, and the Flying Fish. We make our picks next. You're watching Get Up on a Football Friday on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. All right, the next game is called I'm Sorry, What? This is Ravens linebacker Roquan Smith talking about facing the Browns in Cleveland.
You're considered a bad guy because you're going into essentially another man's house and you're trying to take over, like his wife, kids, everyone there to watch them. So you were going over to beat their tails in front of their wife and kids.
Yeah.
Can you interpret that for me?
That's linebacker talk. Yeah, we're going to your house and your fans going to be cheering for us and they wish that we were here. We were the Browns first. Listen, you guys are a carbon copy of what y'all thought we could be. Listen, he has gone to the Ravens school of hard knocks and linebacker speak. I understand that very fluently. I know everything he said.
Write that script?
Yeah, that's all. That's in all the smoke.
Yeah, right now, sitting in his house in Tennessee, Rex Ryan just jumped out of his chair. He's fired up. All right, let's play who you got here. Big games this weekend. Let's go through some of them. Bart, I'll start with you. Lamar, Deshaun, huge game. That game, who you got?
I got to go with the Browns. That defense is exceptional. I think this is going to be the number one defense, and I think they do just enough on offense. The Ravens haven't put up a lot of points this year, and they got a lot of injuries. This offense hasn't been explosive. They have to find that fine marriage between what Lamar used to do and what you want him to do now.
We'll see what Watson is able to do. Mike T, Pickett or Stroud in a battle of young quarterbacks?
You know, I'm really going to surprise myself. Go C.J. Stroud. He's off to an exceptional start. He has 900 yards, Greeny, in three games. I know Pittsburgh has a great defense, taking nothing away from him, but he is the surprise of the season. He's played exceptional so far.
No question about it. He looks by far like the most ready of the rookie quarterbacks. Then Graz, the big one. Tua, Allen, who you got?
I'm going to take Josh Allen. I use the home field as the tiebreaker here because I think it's very close. I just think Allen's going to have to do something to win this game against a team that just scored 70. I know Buffalo's defense has been playing very well, but there's going to be plays that need to be made, and he's going to have to make them.
All right, so we see the skeptical look on the face of Bart.
Yeah. No, it's tough.
Or frankly, he just always looks that way. But anyway, the point is, this game is really the irresistible force against the immovable object, and we want to give the fans something to watch for as this game is being played. The Dolphins love to do all this pre-snap motion, all this window dressing, as they call it, but that Bills defense, they're going to stand right where they're standing, and they're going to say, come beat us if you can. It really is an immovable object.
Yeah, Greeny, there's a couple of videos that really illustrate that point. Let's go to last week's game. Miami leads the league in motion. Literally the third play in the game. Here's Miami. Uses the motion. Tyreek Hill uncovered for a touchdown. That's the chaos that motion works so effectively. However, on the other side of the ball, Sean McDermott has the best zone defense in the NFL. They rush four and no more. Here's Miami going in motion. Buffalo doesn't flinch, and they play zone. This is a completion. But what Sean McDermott does so well is they rush four more than anybody else, and they're sixth best in the NFL in pressure.
That was 40 yards.
Well, we couldn't find a play that they didn't stop. I like your point, but we illustrate it with a 40-yard gain against the defense.
If that's your example, then the point is a good point.
Exactly right. If that's how it's going to go, then the Dolphins are going to win this game 50-0. Okay, let the record show. The point is a good one, and the illustration of it might not have been exactly what we were looking for.
We should have used a graphic.
But the point, we'll do PowerPoint next time. But the point does remain that Buffalo is not going to fall for the okey-doke, right? They're not going to fall for all that pre-snap motion. And so the question, the prediction you made was the Dolphins just going to run it down their throat.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that in the playoff game last year. What happens is they play typically out of nickel. Right, so that means they take a defensive lineman off the field or they take a linebacker off the field and they put a light box guy out there. And what happens is now you have to respect the space. No team has more space on the football field because of their ability to stretch the football field vertically and horizontally than the Miami Dolphins. And they take advantage, and Tua takes advantage of that space. But that means that you're going to have to help some guys out. You're not going to go one-on-one. You're going to sit down and sit in areas. So it's going to be holes all over the place. They're going to be like Swiss cheese, and they're going to run the ball down their throat with physical runs, much like we saw when Sean McVay took the league over. It was basically a bunch of eye trickery, which, you know, takes away the eyes of the defenders, and then they exploit them, and they're just regular basic plays down your throat.
If you look on your screen, you can see our analytics like the Dolphins by just the slimmest of margins. That's not even half a point. The line that we have out of Vegas is 2.5, Buffalo minus 2.5, which is basically home field. So everyone is looking at this as a completely dead even game.
Yeah.
The reason I'm picking, and Cindy, you can put the picks on the screen, I'm going Buffalo for the simplest reason, that if the Dolphins don't lose at Buffalo, where are their losses going? They're not going to go 17-0. This is a monster monster game between the two teams that we think will battle it out for this division.
It is. And Miami hasn't seen a defense this good yet this year. And you know, Sean McDermott, they played each other three times last year.
Right.
Like, he knows what Miami wants to do, and he's going to be prepared for it. Look, it's a great game. Hembo sent me something. They were separated by four total points last year in their three games. Mm-hmm. Like, it is tough. And I think if Miami wins this, we're talking about a potential changing of the guard in the AFC East. And obviously Buffalo does not want that. So, you know, to Tannenbaum's point, as long as they can hold him under 25 yards per pass play, then I think they'll be all right.
But, Gree, the other X factor is the mindset of Josh Allen. He had three turnovers in the playoff game a year ago. Ken Dorsey and Sean McDermott have to say, hey, you're playing the Miami Dolphin defense. You don't have to throw the ball down the field and match Tyreek Hill play for play.
But they have to do something that they're not accustomed to. That's run the ball. They got to try and keep that explosive offense on the field, off the field, and try and get up by a score or two and take the air out of the ball. And I just don't know if Josh Allen has that type of temperament. He can't help himself.
Let me push back on you on that then. I think it goes the other way. I think they have to treat this game the way they treated all their games with Kansas City. They were built to try and beat Kansas City. They got to match them score for score. This is the game Josh Allen puts on the Superman cape.
This offense is way more explosive than the Kansas City Chiefs teams of old, because not they have two Tyreek Hills. They have two Tyreek Hills. They have a 4-by-1 team. They got two guys, three, four guys that have gone over 21 miles an hour.
Yeah.
When you have that type of speed, all you need is a crease. And I'm telling you, they're going to run the ball down their throat. They really found something last year in the playoffs up in Buffalo when in the inclement weather.
The difference is Buffalo is a much better tackling team than Denver. So while they may be able to run the ball.
A cone is a much better tackling team.
Anyone is a better tackling team than Denver.
What's up with your graphics and your stats today?
I don't think the comparison we want to make is to Denver, who just gave up 70 points.
The Jets ran the ball down their throat.
I understand.
And they knew that the Jets had to run the football. This team is going to create space by formations, and they're protecting Tua with the protections and the pulling of the guards. Everything is mirrored. When you have a great system, and I remember because I was with Rex my entire career. And you go into the second and third year, packages grow. People understand conceptually what to do. I think right now they're playing with such chemistry, anticipation, that they can't be stopped right now.
And we do expect Jalen Waddle back. He's out of the he's practicing
cleared
fully.
Cleared concussion protocol, practicing, expected to play.
So, they did that last week without him.
They really missed him.
To me, this is the game of the – right. They would have scored 100 with him. It's the most important game of the weekend on so many different levels. In the meantime, Sunday night we'll be watching with our eyes squinted in just terror. As Taylor Swift will be in the house to watch Zach try to shake it off, or would that be only in the Jets' wildest dreams? We'll talk about that. Plus, can Mac sack Dak? Will Dallas get more flack after Belichick takes his crack at their attack? Or will the Cowboys get back on track? We'll be right back. You're watching Get Up on a Football Friday.
Bars.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah. Game time.
I said it's game time.
Goff wants to throw. Amon Ross, St. Brown. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Up 7-3, looking for more. Montgomery
spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Love looks to throw. That ball was tipped. Oh, intercepted.
Montgomery again to the house. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. What a first half by this football team.
Jordan Love calls his own number and gets the Packers back into the game.
Fourth and goal. David Montgomery powers it home. The Lions ended like they started it, ferociously.
Statement win last night for Detroit. The first half was miserable for Jordan Love. Completed 46% of his passes with a pick and four sacks. Packers had just 21 yards of offense in the first half, their lowest yardage output in any half since 1982. And so we will dive into this game again for just a moment as Chris Canty makes his way over here from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Representing that 3 1/3.
Dan Graziano will rejoin us in a little while. Is he still here? Oh, he's still over here. I'm sorry, I couldn't see him. Around Canty. The biggest takeaway from last night as we sit here. Look, the Packers will get there. They're a very young team, young quarterback. We'll see what they turn out to be. But as we watch this Lions team play, we watch those offensive and defensive lines. We watch a confident quarterback and a coach who's really got that team believing. Should the Eagles and the 49ers and the Cowboys be very closely watching what they're doing in Detroit?
Yeah, I think it's the third team that we have to circle, the Dallas Cowboys. They have proven themselves over the last couple of postseasons that they're not trustworthy and that they're willing to make mistakes, or not willing, but they do make mistakes at the most inopportune times. This Detroit Lions team is built the right way. They're physical up front on both sides of the ball, and they have taken on the identity of their head coach, Dan Campbell. When I watched them last night, that defensive line dictated the complexion of the game. That defensive line had 13 pressures, 11 quarterback hits, and 5 quarterback sacks. That's a formula that will travel. If you can run the football, you can stop the run and get after the other team's quarterback, you're going to win a lot of games in this league.
And they've got a lot of attitude, don't they? I mean, that coach, he's got them believing. If I say, are the Lions a legitimate contender to win the NFC Championship this year, what do you say?
I think they're a year away from being able to do that. But I do look at the Detroit Lions as a team that can go on a deeper playoff run than the Dallas Cowboys. And the biggest reason why is because the quarterback is not going to make mistakes. That's the biggest thing. Listen, we can talk about Jared Goff and how he's a game manager, and maybe there's still a stigma because of what happened in L.A. and how they jettisoned him. But this is a guy that's not going to get in the way of the team's overall success. The last couple of years, this guy is fifth in QBR, and the guys in front of him, Tua, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts. That's a pretty good list to be on. Dak Prescott, we saw what he did last week, the red zone interception. We've seen what he's done in the postseason, multiple turnovers in the divisional round against the 49ers. I'm not saying that Dak Prescott is not a good quarterback. I'm not saying that Jared Goff is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. What I am saying is Jared Goff has not shown the penchant to turn the ball over and make those critical mistakes that cost your team football games.
Let's live here a minute. We'll live here a minute. Borky, I'll get to where we were going. Go ahead.
Yeah, agree. Just to push back on that a little bit, Chris, you talked about what they can do. What they can't do is score a lot of points right now, and maybe they will be able to Jameson Williams, Jameer Gibbs. But right now, Dallas has a lot more weapons on offense, and in the postseason, you have to be able to score at consequential moments.
I mean, if we're going to continue to put San Francisco at the top of the list, you have to say that maybe Goff is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, and we got to start giving Ben Johnson some credit for being maybe a front runner for a head coaching job, because he's one of the best play callers, and they understand their personnel, man, and they've gotten better at every position. LaPorta is better than Hockenson, you know what I mean, for that system. And you look at, you know, DeAndre Swift leaving and Jahmyr Gibbs, they haven't missed a beat.
It's just remarkable. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. Jared Goff was the first pick in the draft. And yet we're sitting here wondering which one of those teams has the edge at quarterback. All right, let's play the game that is sweeping the nation. It is called Can He or Can't He?
Let's do it.
Here we go, Chris. Can Mac Jones outplay Dak in Dallas? Can he or can't he?
Why can he? I mean, we just saw Josh Dobbs outplay Dak Prescott out in the desert. Now, here's the thing. I don't think the formula for the Patriots is going to be Mac Jones dropping back 40 times. They're going to look at the Arizona Cardinals tape and say, we're going to force the Dallas Cowboys to stop the run. We know they have a dynamic pass rush, but you got to earn the right to rush the passer. I would think that Bill Belichick is going to look at that tape and say, we're going to make the Cowboys stop the run 35, 40 times. That's the game plan. It ain't about Mac Jones. It's more about the run game.
I like them too. Next, can Sam Howell lead an upset over Philly? Can he or can't he?
No, he can't. And listen, the Philadelphia Eagles pass rush is going to get after. They lead the league in pressure percentage. And then when you look at the best player on that team, it's not Jalen Hurts, it's Jalen Carter, and he's going to be in Sam Howell's face early and often. 9 sacks the Buffalo Bills defensive line had against Sam Howell last week. In each one of those sacks, Sam Howell held the ball for longer than 4 seconds. It's an eternity in the NFL.
And then finally, can Zach Wilson lose his job against Kansas City? Can he or can't he?
I mean, he's already lost his job, so I guess he can't save his job. I mean, we're talking about the long goodbye when it comes to Zach Wilson. Listen, if they keep trotting this dude out there, Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh are going to have a mutiny on their hands with the other 52 guys in that locker room. Zach Wilson doesn't give him a chance to win games. Since he's come into the league, he has the worst QBR of anyone in football.
All right, let's not even play this out. We're here. We got only have a Canty for a couple of minutes. Let's just talk this here. Why were you shaking your head when he started that?
I mean, like, how bad is Tim Boyle? Like, if you can't...
Simeon, Tim Boyle, anybody, go call Carson Wentz. I don't care who it is. They can't put this kid back out on the field, and Sunday night, everyone will see it.
And you can't explain it away. The problem is they had their Brock Purdy in there and Mike White. They should have signed Mike White. If this is supposed to be a gap year for Zach Wilson this year, why can't we bring in competition for this player? Everybody else has to compete for their job, and it seems like he's been given more than, you know, 3 opportunities to prove that he's a good quarterback.
That's because the general manager made one of the biggest mistakes in draft history by taking him 2nd in the draft, and they were hoping that Aaron Rodgers, among the million other things they were counting on Rodgers to do, could resurrect him and make that look like the pick wasn't so incredibly bad. And so when Rodgers went down, they lost a lot of things, including that. Dan?
The key thing here is the backup quarterback is not the 53rd most important position on the roster.
That's right.
Like, you have to treat it as important. The Colts lost their guy, Richardson, to a concussion. They put Gardner Minshew in, they win the game, right? Yeah. The Carolina loses their guy, they put Andy Dalton in, they don't win the game, but he gave them a shot, right?
Yeah.
So you see it all around the league. The Saints are going to start Jameis Winston this week. Like, that's not their ideal situation, but it's better than a lot of other potential solutions when your starting quarterback gets hurt. You're right. The mistake was holding on to Zach Wilson and not replacing him as the number 2 quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers.
Greeny, quarterbacks are like head coaches. You know it when you see it. It could be a little bit bumpy, but there's a trajectory. He can't see the field. Darren Olofsky was on yesterday. Totally disagree. Not that Nathaniel Hackett is doing a great job, but there were plenty of plays last week against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Check the ball down. Get rid of the ball out of your hands. And when he took that sack, that was just a referendum on him not being able to see the field.
Well, here's the thing, man. From a player's perspective, sometimes you just need to make a change for change's sake. And I feel like that's where this team is. You saw Garrett Wilson and Michael Carter on the sideline last week against the Patriots. They realize that Zach does not give them a chance to win football games. And so we want to see if there's somebody else that can step in and that can manage the game better than we can. Or at the very least, somebody that can step in and not take a safety in a 3-point ball game when we got a chance to try to compete. So I think it's the mistakes that Zach Wilson has made. And then with this roster, this locker room, they always go back to the context of what we saw last year when Zach struggled and some of the things that he said post-game that became problematic for them. Zach is not in a good place. This team is not in a good place. And so I think this is a leadership moment for Rob Saleh in order to salvage the rest of the locker room and try to make sure that he has the ear of the players. He's got to hear them and make a change at quarterback.
Greeny, one other thing, like, these guys know, like, the locker room, it's the ultimate meritocracy. And these guys know everyone else is held accountable. And what's being shown on the field, on the sidelines, is the frustration, which is like, if I'm not playing well, you would bench me. Why is that guy being held to a different standard? It's not right.
The issue is it doesn't even look professional. Like, it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look professional, like he has a clue, right? And that's... I can't understand. I swear I feel like I'm living the same movie. I experienced this with Kyle Bowler. Kyle Bowler was like the number seven player, and we had a Super Bowl ready defense, and we end up having to go to Steve McNair. And he just doesn't, like, simple basic plays. I don't know how, what type of game plan outside of handing the ball off 86 times or 40 times a game that I can even devise to come up, because he's not seeing the field. His guy's wide open. You've tried every concept. They've tried boots, throwbacks. They've tried pick plays, rub routes, and he's just not seeing the field. And he's been coached so much that he can't pull the trigger. He's freezing in the pocket.
Let's make it clear. When you lose your starting quarterback four plays into the season, it's going to destroy almost every team in the NFL. The point you were making about Gardner Minshew is a good one. But you're not winning the Super Bowl with him.
Right.
If that's what happens if your quarterback gets a sprained ankle and you need someone to play for 2 weeks.
Right.
But when you're facing an entire season, you have to have someone who at least gives you a chance to compete, or that team is going to implode or explode, whichever way you want
to put
it.
The question, and you know, I live in Connecticut. They're Jets fans all over. All anybody... They got to get somebody, right? And I'm like, it's too early in the season to go get somebody. It's too early in the season to make the Ryan Tannehill or the Kirk Cousins trade, right? But the point is, somebody keep you afloat until then, right? If that time does come when you can make the upgrade, then that's the, maybe it is Trevor Siemian, but no. They're a couple weeks late in bringing him in, even if it is.
What in the world were they waiting for? Aaron Rodgers got hurt on September 11th. If Tim Boyle isn't ready to play at all, why did it take them 2 weeks to sign Trevor Siemian?
Greeny, they've done a great job, but they should have been on the phone from MetLife scouring.
They've done a great job of what?
What? That's what I was about to ask.
Building a good defense and getting guys like Garrett Wilson and Breece
Hall. How fragile is Zach Wilson that he can't handle having somebody who is a threat to take his job? Every other position.
What do you mean, how fragile? How fragile can a person be? That's how fragile.
I feel like they didn't bring somebody in because they didn't want him to be threatened and feel like his job was at risk when it should be.
GM and head coach put their jobs at risk by doing that, by not signing Mike White this offseason, a guy that signed with a division rival 2 years, $8 million. Hey. By not re-signing Mike White, they put their jobs at risk. That's why the Aaron Rodgers injury does not give Rob Saleh or Joe Douglas a pass. I get that they've drafted well, but they missed on the most important position in all of team sports, and they had the second overall pick.
Yeah.
So either they can't develop it properly, or they picked the wrong guy. Either way, it's going to cost them their jobs because they didn't have a contingency plan behind Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, drafting so well, they've also taken Mekhi Becton in the first round. They took Will McDonald in the first round this year, who's a healthy scratch. He's not even playing on their defense. No, and they took Zach Wilson overall.
But he can play, though. Listen,
why is he not playing?
Because it's hard to put up 10 defensive linemen. That's why, because they have great, that's their strength. So that's depth. That's a depth piece for Carl Lawson.
Okay, let's see it when it happens.
But I tell you what, man, like, to give Joe Douglas just a little grace, I mean, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, that draft class turned out to be a bust.
A little grace? He's been here since 2019.
Yeah. Bro, I'm talking about
the
quarterback draft. That draft is turned out to be a horrible draft. It's three quarterbacks that may be backups for the rest of their career.
I know, and there was a mandate that we found out that you have to take a quarterback in the draft no matter what happens, even if they're terrible. No, you don't. Listen, you get judged based upon the results. You get judged based upon the way things turn out, and things have turned into a disaster. This guy's got to go back and we will see Chris Canty as we go. As we continue, he was a sneaky preseason MVP pick. So what's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? Is his slow start a bad sign? Can he snap out of it Sunday in London? We'll talk about it. Plus, after being destroyed by Oregon last week, can Deion and the Buffaloes pull off the ultimate upset over college football's best player? We're talking about it next. It's a Football Friday. Don't get me started.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
It's the NFL like you've never seen it before. Falcons and Jaguars will transform into the world of Toy Story in real time. Tune in for Toy Story Fun Day Football, Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on ESPN+.
It's going to be a lot of fun in London on Sunday. And so let's go through that game. Let's play What's Your Number? Graz, Bijan Robinson, total yards versus the Jaguars. What's your number?
Going with 115. Feels like it might be a little low, but these London games are odd. The Falcons have had some games this year where the offense has been kind of, you know, stop and start. They like to work Tyler Allgeier in. Bijan is fantastic, and I think he's going to be one of the best players in the league. But on Sunday, I'll keep it at a modest 115.
Mike T, Calvin Ridley receiving yards against Atlanta. What's your number?
110. This is their coming out party. They have been up and down on the offense, but Atlanta struggles rushing the passer. They're 30th in sacks per dropback. With time, Trevor Lawrence should be able to get the ball down to Calvin Ridley, who I thought would be a bona fide number one this season. This is his opportunity.
Well, and I thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to be a bona fide MVP candidate this season. Bart, how many touchdowns does he throw on Sunday morning? What's your number?
Well, to Mike T's point, this is a home game for the Jaguars. They're comfortable over there. Time change difference. I think they adjust very well. This may be a coming out party for him as well. I'm going 3 touchdown passes. He's going to bounce back from that disappointing loss last week.
Right, it's a very big game. And as we put the numbers up on the screen, and again, we'll have it for you exclusively on ESPN Plus Sunday morning with the Toy Story broadcast as well. All kinds of fun, different stuff here. But let me just ask you about Lawrence, because I did this whole thing about how he was an MVP candidate. Has this been a bad start or a bad sign for him and the Jaguars?
I think bad start. I don't think it's necessarily a bad sign. They've had some drops on offense. Things haven't come together. I don't think he's necessarily playing poorly. Obviously, they are not playing and functioning as an offense the way we expected them to, but they had a slow start last year and they got humming in the second half. I think they'll be okay.
Here's the reality, right? Like, success is leased, not owned. And sometimes when you have bad organizations, when they go into a season after having a bad season, now they can't sneak up on people. Yeah. People are more prepared. They get up for you. You have to adjust to the adjustment. I think they're going to tighten the screws up and understand that every season is unique in itself.
You always disappoint me. Greatness is about our standards. And last week they played at home against Houston and were really dismantled. Now, to Graz's point, there were a couple drops, and that's why I'm hopeful. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence Greeny, I agree with you. I got to show that, hey, I'm a top 5 player regardless of who we play week in and week out.
Yeah, and so maybe he shows it this week. We are all on the Jaguars this week, which is the kiss of death. I mean, that absolutely suggests that Atlanta's going to run away and hide with this thing. You'll get to see all the action. The NFL London game kicks off Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. It's exclusively on ESPN+. Bijan Robinson and the Falcons, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags at Wembley. Go to ESPN Plus. You can get it by going to ESPNplus.com or downloading the ESPN app. All right, we've got another stellar college football slate coming up tomorrow. We've got number 11 Notre Dame facing number 17 Duke. The Fighting Irish lead that series 5-2. They've won 29 straight against ACC teams in the regular season. So that's a big matchup, and game day will be there. We've got number 24 Kansas going to Austin to take on number 3 Texas. A Longhorns win would mark its first 5-0 start to a season since its run to the national title game in 2009. And then all eyes will be on Coach Prime and the Buffaloes. They're hosting the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. That's Caleb Williams. USC is 16-0 all time against Colorado. Its most wins without a loss against any opponent all time. There he is, Desmond Howard, ready to go. Game day this weekend and everything else. But let's start by talking about Coach Prime in Colorado. Obviously, last week, a bit of a setback, however you want to view it. What is the blueprint for them to hang close with a really good USC team this weekend?
Well, Greeny, the blueprint would be to be able to go in there at full strength. But obviously, because of the cheap hit that Travis Hunter, their all-star superstar two-way player, suffered during the Colorado State game, They're going in there without him. But, you know, they do have some skill. That's the hit right there. Lacerated his liver, and the kid did not get thrown out the game. But with that being said, now you're going up against a USC team who defensively, they're still not excellent. They're still not great, especially out in space. And that man right there, you saw Xavier Weaver, one of the top receivers in the Pac-12. You have Jimmy Horn. Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback of Colorado, still has some weapons at his disposal. And if these guys can get the ball out in space, make some plays, they can put some pressure on that USC defense. It could potentially look like the TCU game, where it's like a track meet, both offenses going up and down the field.
All right, so that's going to be an interesting to watch. Obviously, everything that they're doing right now at Colorado has the nation's attention. Let's go to Notre Dame Duke. Duke is a much better team than I think most people recognize, and the Irish are coming off what has to be the most emotionally draining losses in recent memory. So we use the term upset alert. Are the Irish on upset alert tomorrow?
You know, Greeny, I was in South Bend. I was in the stadium, and Ohio State just gutted Notre Dame with that last-second touchdown victory. So, like you're right, you're saying, how do they bounce back from such an emotional loss? And I would say they should be on upset alert, because when you lose, weaknesses get exposed. Maybe something in the defensive line that Duke saw that they can take advantage of. And don't forget, we're talking about a Duke team that started the season knocking off a highly ranked Clemson. And they have a dual threat quarterback in Riley Leonard. Dual threat quarterbacks, I mean, they put a lot of pressure on defenses. And this is one who led his team in rushing a year ago, second in rushing right now on his team. And he throws the ball extremely well too. So I think that because of what happened last week in South Bend, and now going up against a Duke team that's very confident, extremely confident. Another thing that I noticed about Duke when they play Clemson, they have a lot of skill on the perimeter too, very athletic perimeter players too. So I do think that Notre Dame should be on upset alert, because this Duke team, they're out to make a statement Saturday night against Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's a really interesting and important game. And the quarterback at Duke is a player who I think you keep a close eye on. Dez, outstanding as always. We will see you and the guys tomorrow, College Game Day. As always, you get up with those guys. And then the Week 5 featured college football matchups on ABC and the ESPN app. We have Texas, Kansas. That's 3:30 Eastern. And then we've got the game in prime time tomorrow night. Again, watch out for Duke. It's number 11. It's number 17. It's a great matchup, and it's tomorrow night only on ABC. Coming up, the Lions take the Lambeau Leap. Are they sneaky Super Bowl contenders? And was it a bad game or a bad sign for Jordan Love and the Pack? Ryan Clark will join the conversation next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.